Item number seven.
Yep.
Applicant.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak here. I just had a little request before starting. I just want to be very mindful of the time, and I know we're given 10 minutes, but
Can you identify yourself, please?
Sorry?
Identify yourself.
Oh, my name is Hijab Mitra. I'm the architect, and I'm from the, representing the company Mistecture.
Okay.
I just wanted to have a small request, being mindful of the time of 10 minutes that goes through the process. I was just wondering if I could request some additional time, just in case I go over. I'm trying not to. And so I would like to take some time from Karen Paul here and talk on his behalf as well. So.
It's okay by me.
Go ahead.
Firstly, Rick, I'm here to talk about 87 Harwood. It's a single family, currently zoned as R1, and we want to rezone it to R2. We have done, our objective is to be contextually very sensitive. We are requesting for 4 condos. We have been trying to respect the character of the neighborhood and the materials that we are selecting through the project. We've also tried to maintain the 1:1 parking issues in this lot. And just to give a quick overview of what site plan looks like, we have the garage at the back with a 6-foot setback. At the back we have 2 units on the main floor and 2 units on the second. We have tried to maintain the front yard setbacks to align with the rest of the property. Actually, we are slightly behind the rest of the properties. We have maintained a larger setback between the neighbor, about 7 foot, and then a smaller setback onto Stafford. One of the key things that we have considered through this project was the orientation of the building, and we wanted to respect the character of the neighborhood and the street, and we intentionally oriented it in, on Harvard to maintain. So the key concept in designing was to make sure, I must say that most of the homes on the street are really large and wonderful, and we wanted to maintain and respect the character of the homes itself. So the key principle in the design was trying to design one large home rather than looking like a condo, and maintaining the heights, and actually we're below most of the roof heights on the neighborhood. We probably are slightly wider, but most homes here are very, very large, and the idea as an architect and working with a developer, the idea was to keep it as though it is one large home and to blend into the neighborhood and not stand out. Now, I have given a package of what we have done so far, and I've tried to be as organized as possible, so it's really easy for you all to flip through with it as well. So the first part of the package will show you a report on whom I spoke to and whom we consulted. We have consulted everybody on Harvard. We have consulted a few on Harrow and a few on Yale. But the report shows everybody on Harvard. We've identified the homeowners, whom we spoke to. Sometimes we've spoken to both homeowners. Sometimes we've spoken to one. Now, the greens show people who have no objection and their comments. A lot of people had concerns, and I must say that my second sheet here talks about briefly identifying the concerns of all the people. Now, the biggest concern, which I thought was very nice, was a lot. Almost 100% of the street had mentioned to me that the biggest concern is the immediate neighbor, and we need to respect the immediate neighbor's requirements. And there was also times when we, when the first consultation date, when we went in, I believe the immediate neighbor was sick, and we had been requested by the neighbors on the street not to go and visit them until they are in a better position and not overwhelm them. So we did listen to that, and that was one of the biggest concerns they had. And I will outline what the concerns people had. The second concern that people, I've also outlined which addresses had spoken about what concern on here. Concerns about sight lines while exiting from the garage, insurance on the neighboring property, concerning about block being eaten up, maintaining trees where possible, concerned about piling during construction, and concerns about value of the property because of a condo on the street. Now, what we've done is we've done a street view showing all the homes on the street and also showing what our development looks like at the very end and how we've try to maximize and respect the quality of the street. If you go through the report, we've identified each address and what they actually said. And we also addressed what their concerns were. Some of them had mentioned to us that we should send correspondence to them via email, and they'll get back in touch that way. And some we've heard from some, and we haven't heard from some. There was only one person on the street who was facing Harrow who was really not wanting to talk to me. When I went to her and asked if before community consultation, she was very welcoming, and she said she'll be there for the community consultation. But after the community consultation, because she didn't show up, I went back, and she said she doesn't want to speak to me. She's just in opposition. So that was the only person on the street that I felt was didn't give us an opportunity to explain ourselves. But how we addressed the community voice was, if you look at this sheet here, I have tabs 1 to 6. So it addresses the first tab, addresses about the concern of the immediate neighbor with the sight lines when the garage, when we exit out. So what we did was we actually shrunk the size of the garage itself to give more sight lines, and we set it back so it's now 6 foot. So we addressed that way. The second one was about concerns about wrap-up neighboring insurance. So what we did was we got a letter of intent sent to the neighbor about the intent from the developer to have a wrap-up liability insurance to protect the neighbor's property. We will also be taking pictures before and after to make sure that it is met. The third aspect about a fear about if a development is allowed on the corner, will the block get eaten up by condos? And we've heard that in the last presentation, and I think it's a very genuine fear, and I wanted to address that to the best of my ability. As an architect, I have mentioned it to the neighbors and the people in the community. I have no control about the future and what the future holds. But all the people who addressed that to me and have requested information, that's the third tab you see. I've sent them a copy about areas of stability and the complete communities document. And in that, it clearly identifies that, you know, the intent is to keep the corridors dense than the centers. And because we fall under that zone for intensification, I think it is, as an architect, I just want to let them know that I do care for them, and I do feel for what they're saying, and I wish to have this tighter, and I don't want to hear what people said before me and being upset about it. Now, when I just want to bring up the concerns genuinely about what I heard, and one of this was during our community consultation, one of the homeowners addressed saying that, I love everything you do, but how can you tell me that what happened on Jesse won't happen on our street? Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I wanted to raise, some facts. I don't want to be supporting Jesse, I don't want to be saying anything, but the facts about what I understand, why certain developments will... and love, and to educate people and not to be worried about fear, because that's the reason they have elected councils to support them and city representatives to be discussing this issue. So I just want to address that clearly about the block that the clients were referring to was between Nassau and Daly. And from my understanding as an architect, to clear up, like to lay out the clear facts, I think the reason that densification was allowed on that block was because the rapid transit is just 2 blocks away. People want to live in that neighborhood, and also it's just a block in from Corden. We're not relating Harvard as a Jesse, and that's what I wanted to lay out very clearly. So that's one thing. I don't want to ignore the fact that people have concerns, because these are genuine concerns. I just want to address them in the most way to protect the neighbors off the street. And I think I know that there has been a few people in opposition, and I respect that they're coming here in opposition, and they've also told me they're coming here in opposition. And the reason for the opposition, from what I know, is they believe if they allow density on one end, the entire block will end up being eaten up. Or the other concern that was raised to me is, if it was dense on one end of the street, would Harrow have the same impact? And because the person lives one house in, would that be an impact? I think it is important for neighbors to have this conversation, important for them to talk to the city representatives, and be assured that as an architect, I've taken everything into consideration in my ability to respect the regulations, respect city of the our Winnipeg guidelines, respect complete communities. And I didn't want to be the other person who just said, no, I don't want to do that. And I just hope they respect that. And somehow I'm trying to figure out a way. I heard that a neighborhood plan's coming up, and I hope that plan will, you know, remove some of their fear about a complete block being eaten up. And that was one of the issues I wanted to talk about. The other genuine concerns were about trees, possible trees on the site, and that was block under four. Mm. And that was a neighbor who raised that concern, like, how many trees would you be bringing down? We will try to maintain as many trees as possible on that lot, and the email correspondence is attached there. The fifth concern was about piling. Because most of these homes are older homes and have stone foundations, they were concerned about drilled piles. So we're going to have poured in place, so that's not going to affect most of the lots. And one of the most curious and most interesting questions that I've ever heard in a community consultation, as y'all are aware, we always, as an architectural firm, we go over and beyond doing our consultation. And we try to respect everything and get true facts rather than people living in fear. So one of the true concerns raised by a neighbor, and I thought I really appreciated that comment, was about the value of the properties dropping because of a condo on the end of the street. So right away I decided, for my curiosity, that I want to understand what has happened in the current situation. So we did a comparative analysis, which is in there and which has been sent to the neighbor, showing all the condos that have been built. It's not many in that neighborhood, and that should give them enough hope that, you know, an entire block is not going to be eaten up. But if you look at the comparative analysis of the value of condos versus a home, till date, we don't see the value actually dropping. Instead, I think the property values have been enhanced. And I didn't have this answer when the person asked me, so we decided to do an in-depth research and figure out and work with realtors to get that information. And the last part of, I have this very last sheet here about Howard residents support opportunities and challenges. And I just wanted to commend a few people who are not here today but have said very good things. And I just want the other people to hear about it. And I'm just going to read it out loudly. It says, our homes are very old. We need change. And I love the fact that you've respected our architecture. It will be very positive change to the street. And this is Patrice Gibson. And then we have another one saying, I love the fact that the building looks so beautiful. You make me proud to live here. That's Kennedy. Love the building material and the thought put into designing this project with community first. The building is beautiful. The last one is such a cool development for the neighborhood. We need this upkeep. So I think genuinely the people on the street feel that the home that is there currently is not living to the standards of the homes, the rest of the homes in the street, and they want that upkeep. And they believe that because the homes are 100 years old, it is time for a little bit of change, and this is positive change. And I'm really hoping I've addressed all the positives and the concerns and what we've gone through, and I've been as transparent as possible as I could be.
I'd just like to know why you aren't doing all this development in Fort Rouge and some of these other things.
Okay. Slowly we will come into your team.
Okay, I'll have special later.
You have the
So is there Pat Calais? Do you want to speak?
Don't want to speak?
Want to speak?
You have to go to the point.
Yeah. I would like to say, I think PTAB has done a great job addressing the concerns, I think, beyond what one would normally expect. The scale of the development is in keeping with the street, I think, clearly with the rendering, and as in the use of materials. And in the existing building, as she mentioned, is, I think, in the word derelict. So, again, I'm in support.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Martin Pankratz.
Right, Pankratz.
Martin?
Sure, I'll take a couple of minutes.
You don't have to speak.
I appreciate hearing what you say.
All the favor go first, right?
In favor, yeah.
My name is Martin Pankratz. I used to live at 91 Harvard from 1980 to 1993. I currently live at 128 Yale Avenue, so just kind of a stone's throw away. My parents still live at 91 Harvard. I spend a great deal of time there. My children are sleeping there tomorrow night. I'm affected as a neighborhood resident, but also somewhat still as a neighbor. So I just wanted to speak briefly. I appreciate the work the group has done in developing and engaging the neighborhood. I think they've done a good job at that, and probably more than they had to, so that was really appreciated. And I know that's an extra thing they didn't have to do, but. So that's been good in learning. So for me, it calmed a bunch of the fears just hearing what's going on and seeing it. Specifically, though, I guess I'm in support of several things. I am in support of development and renewal in the neighborhood. I love Crescentwood, and I love 100-year-old houses, but I know the next generation isn't out there demanding 100-year-old houses. And I think... maybe one of the ways that this community that fits, 4, 5, 6, 7 people in a house or a building on these properties, this is a good way to do that in today's society, in today's times. This fulfills that same demand in my mind. So. I'm in support of the idea. I love that they've tried to continue the look and feel of the neighborhood the same. I know we'll throw around densification and things like that, but to me, designing for 4 to maximum maybe 8 people is what that neighborhood was built for anyway, so I don't see a change in densification as long as the city... water and streets are there, which I think this is a smart thing to do instead of building new roads to maintain. I think it does set the neighborhood up in good position for the next 100 years. There's a reason it's lasted this 100 years, but I don't think that will continue without a great deal of effort. Like my house on Yale needs a great deal of effort to last another 100 years, and that's the kind of effort that this neighborhood needs. So I think this is doing a good service for future generations in the area. My concern was visibility. I went to Kelvin, and I know that, and I'm a pedestrian most of the time. You come around these back lanes. My back lane, the building, the apartment on Yale and Stafford is right on the sidewalk. You can't look at the sidewalk without running people over if you're in a car. The allowance of what it was at 6 feet of room or something lets you, as a driver, get that nose out and now see that there's people coming. So I think that's important to me. I have kids in the neighborhood, and the accommodation there is appreciated. And I think that pretty much covers it for me. Appreciate your time.
Any questions?
Yeah, Martin, thanks for coming. And just on a night like this, one of the problems I see is your mom's place next door. Been there a number of times, and my understanding is that they are looking at some type of assurance for your mother's place that if construction is some always has impact.
A big feet away, yes.
Yeah. So your mother's okay with that.
We have asked that that their insurance, the building insurance, cover structural issues with the property next door. Yes.
Yeah. So, and is your mom here?
Yes.
Oh, there she is. Hi. Is your mother speaking?
Yes.
Coming up.
Yeah.
You are. Okay. Then I'll wait. I'll ask her directly.
Sure.
Thanks.
That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks.
Hey, Alvina.
This is so nice.
Comfortable chair.
I'm Alvina Pancras, and I live next door to the project that is being looked at today. We moved to 91 Harvard Avenue in 1980. We bought into a house that was totally run down. We bought from the original owners who had been there. The father was Mr. Hoskin, a lawyer. He and his wife lived there and died there. Their oldest daughter stayed on living there, and she died there. The house was empty for a year and was emptied by the younger daughter, and it was up for an estate sale. So we got this lovely gem of a house to fix up. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful place to live, and we just really, really enjoy it. And we've seen so many changes. I love this book, if any of you are interested in Crescent Lake. And the changes that we've seen, just as an example, is the house, the property on Yale and Stafford. It's actually in the lane. And it was, for the longest time after we lived there, it was a parking lot. It was an empty lot, and it was a parking lot, and it was ugly. It was supremely ugly. And, you know, a few years down the road, it was fixed up and has a building on it. I can't say it's my favorite building, but it has a building, and it's okay. You know, people live there. It's not a parking lot. And so we're really happy about some of the changes that we've seen. And the thing that is in our favor for having this property developed is that we want to stay where we are. We really like the place. It's a big old house. We have invested brand new electrical, brand new plumbing in this house. We've put in an elevator so we can stay where we are. We're old people, and we need an elevator in order to stay in this house. And so we've put that in, and we want to stay. And in fact, just recently we put in a new floor in what was the barn, which is a house, like it holds antique cars, but it's got a brand new floor. So it's the investment we've put into this place is for us to stay. And we're excited about the fact that we're going to have neighbors who are going to stay. Because the people who had the house lived there too until they died. And so it's, although the second generation and third generation have moved on. But it's a place that you want to stay and live. And I want to share it with other people. That's how I feel about this place. And being close to everything is so wonderful living there. You don't have to drive through town to get anywhere. We're already in town, and we're close to everything. We're close to medical things. We're close to groceries. We're close to everything. And so I'm excited about the fact that this building that's being planned really looks nice, and I'm going to be happy to be a neighbor to this place. And I'm encouraged by the architect who's taken such pains to talk to people and to listen to people and to share the ideas that she wants to have in this place. And I'm just excited about it. I really, really like to stay, and I want to stay. And I want other people to stay there too and enjoy it. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for coming.
Can I ask you just one question?
Oh, sure.
And it's really, and I hear what you're saying, but I'm looking at the zoning. And I'm just specifically looking at the zoning. What happens if a nice new single family house went up there?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it could be exactly the same design, but who knows, it can. But the question for me today is going from R1 to R2 in this neighborhood, which is it does change the dynamics in that neighborhood. It's already happened on my block on Dorchester, and I can guarantee you it has changed some dynamics on that street, mostly because those Jets players are never living there, which is nice because we know the traffic problem. But I know in the area, I think you have a house, a neighbor about three houses down, who lifted his house, lifted it up, put an astronomical amount of money in there because he wants to live in a family neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you said, I agree with you 100%. You got to replenish the stock. But you wouldn't be adverse if it was just a new house for a single family. Or do you think that having the density, like Arwen Bay talks about with corridors and all that, is suitable for the Crescent Way neighborhood?
I think so. I think it's time to look at that sort of strategy because even ourselves, we have lived in this house and for so long. And during the time we've lived there, we've fostered children, we've hosted students, and it's wonderful to share the place with people. And that's what I think about this particular corner, too. It's a wonderful idea to share. When you have a gem, you want to share it with people. And as far as it being a single-family dwelling, you don't know how many people are going to live in it.
Absolutely.
It's just what you're saying is you're talking about changing from R1 to R2.
And we'll talk about that after, but yeah, that's really the crux of the problem right now.
It's the amount of people that live there is really irrelevant to me.
Right.
As long as they clean up the garbage.
That's right.
And park in the back.
Yeah.
I know. Is there anyone else in support whose name was not called that would like to speak?
Johanna, Josh, Walchak, Elizabeth.
All right.
This is an opposition.
An opposition, yeah.
Does it all come up at once, or does it
Well, you come up faster. You all register the same form.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't realize my kids actually might want to speak.
But are they, if they want to speak,
absolutely.
Have them come up.
I think I'm up separately.
Okay.
We'll give them at least a minute.
Yeah, okay, that's all she'll need. I want to thank you guys for the opportunity to speak here today. I live at 117 Harvard, and we are here in opposition to the zoning variance change. My wife and I started off in the country where we started our family, and we decided to move to the city, and we looked at a number of areas. Crescentwood was the one we wanted to settle down in. We really liked Grosvenor School. We liked the whole community aspect. And we certainly liked the fact that there were no condos. Academy Road, maybe. Grosvenor, a little further away from where we are. If we wanted what's proposed, we would have moved to Osborne Village. We had an opportunity to buy in there, but we don't want to have high density with traffic and such. Now, having said that, the architect has gone above and beyond what I saw earlier today. The architect basically did nothing and they got their way, which saddened me because I know the Jesse neighborhood and it's been ruined. And the next thing they're going to do is ruin Harvard, Yale, Kingsway, Dromore. This is Harvard. This is Yale. This is not Jesse, Dorchester, McMillan. We paid a lot of money to move into this neighborhood, and my worst fear is not so much in land development, but every corner house, just about every corner house, sort of, on Stafford, at Yale, Kingsway, and Harvard, are newer infill bungalows. Now, I don't know what went there 40 years ago. I was told there was some parkland, there was some multi-usage. I don't know if houses burnt down on every corner and bungalows got built, but they weren't there 40 years ago. So they don't blend that well to the neighborhood, but they have been there 40 years, so they already are older. Every house, once these guys get their foot in the door, will then be subject because they don't properly belong in the neighborhood. All of a sudden, every corner has four condos. My neighbor on Harrow, her house is on a double lot, a very desirable place on a corridor. All of a sudden, one condo goes up at one end of Harvard. Then they start badgering my neighbor, who is a single widowed person living in this great location. They'll eventually throw enough money at her that she'll sell and voila, I've got an eightplex on one side of me. The back lane that we live on faces Kelvin on one end and faces Stafford on the other. It is already a high traffic back lane that is very poorly maintained. Eight more parking spots, that's just going to add safety concerns for my children that walk out the back door and go to Kelvin. And at the other end, at Stafford, the earlier person was talking about the apartment building that's at the corner of Yale, at the back lane of Yale. That apartment building's 100 years old. It's been there forever. This hasn't. These are non-existing issues at the end of our back lane that would all of a sudden become a problem. And then we already have a hard time parking on the street. If you go to, I work the lunch program at my kid's school. If I leave in the morning and try to park after 9:15, forget it. It's done. And that's just the last thing that we need is more traffic on our street.
I'm Hannah, and I'm not at Kelvin yet, but occasionally go there. And I'm scared coming home, walking down my back lane. There's a lot of traffic, and I'm really scared because people come around the corner, and it's no. And I know turning from Stafford into our back lane, the angle you can't park properly with the angle. So you have to go down Kingsway and then up that chute and passes our house. So it's creating much more traffic going down our entire back lane to get to the end in the corner. That's my main.
Can I ask you? Okay. Thank you very much. I'm trying to get the back lane right
it's
now.
It's an L. Yeah, for whatever reason, it starts on Kingsway.
And then right at our house, it takes a left.
And goes to Stafford.
So go straight down, and then a little Ivy thing. Oh, a T is off the back there, right?
Yeah.
And then this
the L's, it's not a T.
Oh, this is the one that goes, oh, this is the, oh, yeah. Yeah, this part, right?
The Kelvin Lane.
Yeah.
That's a big traffic problem right there.
So, yeah, so the problem here, yeah, I know. So the traffic is, especially a lot of the students, and I guess parents as well, who are doing the drop-off, would,
The traffic is already a problem.
Yeah, becoming up and down in this corridor. Okay, I see where you are.
You can't walk home on the sidewalk on the front street? Like, why would you
there
be going down
no
the back lane?
There is no sidewalk on Harrow.
There's no sidewalk on Harrow.
No.
So they walk up the back lane, and there's no crosswalk that they can access with a sidewalk.
There's a crosswalk at Grosvenor and a crosswalk at Kingsway. Everywhere in between, it's.
There is no either a sidewalk or no crosswalk.
No, wait, that's
there is no sidewalk.
Oh, it's a long story.
That side of Harrow has no sidewalk from Grosvenor to Kelvin.
The houses are too close to the.
Okay.
So we had to get some dirt path. The houses are too close to build sidewalk.
Bad planning.
Yeah, well, again, it's 200 years ago. So.
Actually, Harrow did not extend past Dromar at one point.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, exactly. It's just how the house isn't built. So the concern I'm hearing from yourself right now is on the safety issue is the adding the fourplex at the corner would produce too much traffic going up and down the back lane, some parking issues up front, and then encroachment down the block.
Like I said, we're opening Pandora's box by allowing the first guy in.
The first guy has been in, just so you know. Started. Dorchester.
I can see.
You see a difference, but that's.
Yeah, Dorchester's on the other side of Grosvenor.
I know.
And according to the Crescentwood book and the map, but Crescentwood is south of, or north of Grosvenor.
I know the debate, yeah. But the bottom line is, the bottom line is that's, you have to be pretty intricate detail of knowing that Crescentwood, that the book has the certain architect on Grosvenor only, but under our city map, it's Cordon. So sometimes they believe we're in Rockwood neighborhood or you know, we're in the void between the two, which is fine. Because you do pay a lot more taxes on the other side of Grosvenor than I do, so I don't know
but
why.
Also on Dorchester, between the houses, between the two streets, there are probably twice as many houses as on Harvard and Yale.
Yeah, the lot sizes, right?
Yeah, so if you lose a house on each end of each road, all of a sudden we go from 12 houses on our street to 8.
And that really is a question here for me today, and I appreciate your comments about the traffic, but my question, my concern is that converting of the R1 to an R2 without the protections of the mature guidelines, neighborhood guidelines, without, we actually aren't part of the cordon plan anymore, because I saw what Councilor Jabassi's neighborhood is different, it's labeled different, just the type of housing. I'll ask the planner to tell us a little bit difference about the neighborhood. But it is that doing the R2 when we had that cordon plan came out, and it showed
the plan never came out.
Well, the plan I saw came out, and why we decided to, for my neighborhood, decided that this we aren't compatible to the plan was a mid block. I saw mid block infills coming up. And the poster board at the Harrow United Church had also showed it when they had the public open house.
It was just for discussion, but anyway,
A discussion that freaked out Crescentwood.
Yes, and you know, every time there's going to be a new application, especially in our neighborhood, the same result will occur.
The same problem we had on the Academy, and we dealt with that with the PDO, which I think is something we may go and look at. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in opposition you'd like to speak?
Yes, please.
Did you fill out a form?
No.
Okay, I'll get one for you.
Okay, thank you. My name's Gary Harmer. I live at 111 Harvard Avenue. And I'm the host that I lifted the property into a new basement. And I've been before, Councilor Dulles before, and I put a carriage house in the back. And I've spent a very considerable amount of money on my property. And I do love Crescentwood. And I do commend the architect for what she has put forth. I think she has done an admirable job. It's a very nice design. But the problem for me is rezoning to R2. My neighbor Joe, I agree with him. I think once you start getting more and more R2s in there, you know, it's not the historic part of the city that it was. It's a very grand area. It's beautiful, and I think it's going to change the complexion of it. And then the other end of the block, and I think every corner. And I do have issues with the traffic on our lane. Our back lane is a very heavy traffic area, so that is another concern for me with more higher density on that corner. And if there's, I don't believe there's, is a, and correct me if I'm wrong, is there any protections now from moving condos into the mid-block? And that's my biggest concern. And I really do believe that there will be developers here trying to do that. You know, the second one's built there. And our block is a perfect example. The bungalow right across the street is the same vintage. So that'll be next. There's another house, one into it, that is not a nice house, really. It's an older house, 50 years old. It was an infill, and that'll be next. So they'll just keep moving in. So I definitely have concerns with changing the zoning. I also feel that, you know, like, where does it stop? Does it become like an Osborne Village, where all these grand houses that were in the Roslyn Road area and stuff start, you know, making way to smaller condos? And I don't believe we're going to see apartments there, but they definitely will. The condos won't stop, that's for sure. Anyways, that's what all I had to say. Any questions?
The question is, maybe you can't answer, but I have you as green.
No.
111 in support.
No, the architect did talk to me on the very first time she came by, and I didn't say I supported it. So if she has that on her paperwork, I would. I like what she had, what she had done, but I wasn't in support of.
Okay, thank you.
Her application.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah.
Do I have to come back and speak again? Like, I have a question about something you just raised.
No. Yeah, no. I think I know what your question is, but this is our process. It's a one-shot deal. And then, because then we have to, then that has to always go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So, you have already spoken, yeah. So,
But one of your other people who haven't spoken could speak still. Lisa could speak. Josh could speak. Yeah, they're on the list still. Right? Yeah?
I'm Josh Walchuk, and I live at 117 Harvard. And I have a question, and I want to ask how many people on her list are in support, and do they have signed documents, the architects?
Don't worry. Thank you. We'll ask that question to the architect later.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in opposition who has not been called? Yes?
I'm not on the list because I can wait.
I know what you can come.
Yep.
And you know what? The interesting thing is it's not necessarily I was even going to speak today because I was kind of sitting in the fence. Yep. I don't have a problem. I think these gentlemen, the developers, the architect, went way out of their way to create a beautiful place that will fit in. And I think my big thing is the same kind of situation as the rezoning. And I would feel more comfortable, like when I talked to Michael a little bit, about if there was a defined plan of what was going to happen. Because to me, I see, okay, this happens. And then there's I was more concerned about the house across the way that faces Stafford. That's okay. That faces Stafford. And so that in terms of if this gets rezoned as that, and then a developer buys that one because it's facing Stafford, do we start to kind of get into, well, commercial on the main floor and then residential more on the second? So I guess I just see that it's going to creep all the way down. I lived on Ashley Fleet. I've been living in the neighborhood for 27 years. Started off in his apartments, then I was on Fleet, and then bought a place on Fleet until 3 years ago. And although I love that Cordon vibe and feel, we had made a decision to move on to Harvard to have more of a neighborhood feel because there was so many different multi, you know, tenants as well as rentals, that kind of thing. And I guess for us, it's great that we know that the value isn't going to depreciate, but that was one of the questions that I had raised and concerns because we bought really high to be in that neighborhood, and we bought into that neighborhood partly for having that residential feel and not really being as much into the R2 zoning. No, thank you. But having said that, it's more about that. It's not about the plan that they put forward. I think it's beautiful. But again, could there be a single family home that could be built that might be just great for the neighborhood too? Absolutely. I think the parking is a problem. Most of the students and teachers from Calvin, they do park a lot. So during the day, there's not really anywhere to park as it is. So I think that adding that extra little bit, especially that there's no clear direction in terms of where is the city going to go with these other properties, these other bungalows, because if you throw enough money at it, people will buy, they will sell them. And then if this precedent is set, then it's very difficult to go back from that. So, and definitely if I knew that this is the way and direction it was going, I would not have purchased that house 3 years ago. Because it's really definitely not something that I was looking for in terms of my family life for this next little period of time. And I was gonna, I'm actually right beside Art and Elvina, so I'm 93 Harvard. So this development is on the end, then it's Art and Elvina, and then it's us. And I really care for Art and Elvina a lot. And I know for them that, you know, I was so pleased that everybody made that effort for them. And so there was part of me that I was just going to sit on the fence today because of the fact that I know for Art and Elvina, this is really, they're going to be the most affected because it's right beside them. And I think if it wasn't for what I know about development and some of the people that I deal with on a daily basis and their opinions, and then if I thought that this would be the only one that would be going in there and then it wouldn't continue, if this precedent was set, then it would be like, yeah, no problem, build it because it's beautiful. But I think my concern is what are we looking for the neighborhood? And I certainly didn't buy in at that price point in order to have this as being my neighborhood. So, and I'm a local business person and as well, so I'm really connected to the community and have been for, like I said, about 25 years. So.
Is that 93 Harvard?
Yes.
Again, another supporter.
Okay.
Again, because you're marked as green here as well.
Well, I didn't really finalize anything. I said this would help. And really, to be truthful, I was really sitting on the fence. Because
yeah.
I don't have a problem with the project they're putting forth. I have more a problem with the precedent and that there's not really a defined plan by the city that they'll limit the amount that this will happen if this precedent gets set. And I think if the city would develop better guidelines for these communities so we'd know and we'd feel more comfortable that it's not going to creep into the block, because I'm definitely on that, you know, across the street there's the other bungalow, then there's this other house that's kind of tear down. Now the house beside it, no way, and the architect that built the house, you know, that's not going to be torn down. But I just kind of see that that's going to creep in, and then again, then if it starts to creep all the way down Stafford, even for the parking issue, like where are all these people going to park for visitation, even if you have a couple parking spots for each unit? And I got to look at the academy thing, and Michael will kind of attest to this, but Michael and I have had a lot of conversations over the years of zoning for commercial when we were looking to try to move our business and find a place that we could have on Cordon, that we could get an old house, a corner lot or something that we could convert to make to a clinic. And there was very black and white, no, Donna, you know the rules. No, it's not between this, it's not between that. But when I talked to him a little bit this time, it seemed a lot more gray. I wasn't getting that, no, Donna, this isn't going to happen. It's like, this is kind of the rules. And then we'd have to look at everything case by case. And even where an academy, at a certain point, they stop the development from continuing to happen. So I don't understand, then, this section is pretty unique as well. Harvard, Yale, you know, Kingsway is pretty unique, just like where they stopped it on Academy down to about Stephen and Andrews, right? They're not really allowing commercial to come down there,
not
right?
Commercial, no.
Not commercial, but yeah. There but even multi, I haven't seen anything that's...
We've approved it to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I guess
I've been a few that there's been a few R2 zone
that are coming.
Has gone up.
Okay, yeah. Well, I guess I've missed that on those.
Yeah, they're the ones, the recent one was... where was it? Wilton? Wilton and Guelph, the ones with other parks in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but again, okay. The neighbors were all fine with it. So, yeah. But yeah.
So, anyway, that's...
Thank you.
Thank you.
The applicant?
Anyone else in opposition? No. For information?
Frozen outside.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The applicant comes back.
So I think I was familiar with these questions, and I addressed it as concerns in the very beginning itself. But I want to raise a few things and clarify a few items what people spoke upon, which I wasn't aware of when I spoke to them on a one-on-one basis or a community hearing. And so I'm going to go up to the first person who spoke, and I think it was from 117 Harvard. Oh, sorry, I have all my papers mixed up here. And so the first thing about high traffic back lane, parking spots, no safety concerns. These homes are 100 years, hard time parking on the lot. I want to let you know that we've done a detailed turnaround analysis to figure out how the cars turn in, what the sight lines would be. And I think it is set back, shrunk, and you will not have an issue. Like I know the little girl said that when you get in, she believes that you can't park in. As an architect, we have taken the consideration to make sure that that's not the concern, that they have to go all the way front up and come back and then go into from the back lane. They can get onto the back lane and the turning radius is sufficient. Moreover, I want to stress the regulations in the city with minimum widths for a back lane accommodate turning from a back lane into a space. So I'm just not sure whether I just wanted to educate them a little bit about that turning radiuses and sight lines, and I think we have addressed it. Our first plan was a little larger, and the immediate neighbor raised that concern. We thought it was a genuine concern, and we addressed that. The second thing about, so I don't see it as an issue for parking, and also, we also have most of the units, we don't know the kind of people that will live in there. About the value of the home has come up, and we've done an analysis. I must let you know that the prices for these condos are at $500,000 each. We have tried to keep the mark really high, so we have the values on the street does not depreciate at all. We've also got two people interested in there to live in there, and the reason is they don't want to take the ownership of a 100-year-old home, but they want to live in that mature community. And one of them is an RCMP officer, and unfortunately he couldn't be here because he just got married and he's on a honeymoon. So we wanted him here to talk because he's an RCMP officer. The safety, the security enhances their community. Secondly, what I want to talk about, they're all talking about a condo coming and diminishing the look of the property. Currently the property is a single family home. When you look at all the upkeeps that the homes have taken, like, you know, Gary, who has done extensive renovations, I must point out that single-family home renovations hasn't been the most exciting thing in the neighborhood either. The complaints about 100 address, the complaints about Gary Harmer's home lifting has been immensely translated to me about, oh, that's a postcard home. We'd rather not have a postcard home on 100 Harvard. We would rather have a home that is lived in and matches the character of the street. And I want to say that these are things that people on the street have told me, that they did not like that single family home going in there. So I appreciate and I commend all of them for telling us what a wonderful effort that we have done. But it's not that single family home that they complained about. And these are the same people who are talking about, worried about density, but they were also angry about that single-family home. So I'm not too sure whether it is density, which is an issue here, or whether it is R1 to R2, which is an issue here, or any development on Harvard that is an issue here. The second thing that I also want to talk about is extensive renovations and lifting of homes. I had a complaint from the immediate neighbor. Like, I don't even know, like, I'm not... All these things, what I hear, and the things you see in green, and I know the concern about whether have got signed letters have been raised here. The only reason I didn't sign is most people have corresponded through emails, and I can document all the emails. A lot of them are in there of what it is, and even if it is green, I have addressed the concerns as spoken and what we have given back. And I've asked them, followed up repeatedly, do you need anything else from me? Is there anything else we could do for you? And so I imagine that we have addressed most of the issues. The other thing about condos coming up, about 117 Harrow, who spoke about moving in from the country to our Crescentwood neighborhood because they wanted that community feel. There is a condo right on Harrow, which is 20 unit plus. And so I'm not too sure how a four unit which matches the street on the other end of the block so will impact what it is. I also spoke to the owner. The person who did not want to speak to me was, I'm going to tell the address. Her name was Marina Ross. She's unavailable to come today, but she said to me that she doesn't want to talk to me at all because she doesn't want to get to know me. And my question to her was, is it something that I have done? Because when I came for community consultation, you were so welcoming. You said you will come and, you know, you like what I'm doing. And then the next time, because you didn't show up, I'm coming back to follow up. You just said no to me. I said, give me an opportunity to show you. She said, I don't want to see the design. I don't want to know what's going on. My husband used to be an architect. He was refused a development 10 years or 20 years ago. He's no more. She said, for all I know, this project may go ahead, and I wish you the best of luck. But I don't want to talk to you. So, and she also said that the right person right opposite to her home wanted to have multifamily or three-unit density on Harrow. And she said, I would have supported it at that point of time. So I asked her, is that your neighbor influencing you? I just had to ask because I knew her neighbor was 117. And she said, she smiled and she said, It's not my neighbor, but yes, I have spoken to my neighbor. So I'm not too sure what to, why she did not want to talk to me. That was another thing. The other one was about density. And I think the Elvina family has mentioned that density is not an issue. The whole thing about going from R1 to R2 is density. And I think we have to be open about it. The homes on Harvard are designed for larger families. The homes on Harvard used to have, for example, the immediate neighbors said used to have foster kids more than probably what the density would have been. You might have a large family of 10 kids moving into that home because it can accommodate such people in such large homes. What I liked about one of the residents on 127 Harrow, her name was Patrice Gibson, and she said, I like the fact that people are coming in viewing that we cannot live in 100-year past. We have to think about the future, and this is the best thing that could happen to the neighborhood. What I appreciate is everything being respected and still giving the people what they want. And she also mentioned density is not an issue to her because they bought the home because they wanted larger families. She has grandkids, she has a daughter, and she has so many people coming over all the time. For all I know, we would have a maximum density of 8 people in this area for the people who have consulted with us so far. And also, the parking, we have 2 parking spots per unit. And so we don't believe that they would be necessary for parking, you know, jamming up the street. We also have to take into consideration the facts that it is in a school neighborhood. It is a busy park. It's not that because we're doing a development, it's changing everything from what the concerns of density are currently. And I am for, and I feel the concerns, and I really wish that I just don't like people being in fear. And I'm going to be very honest because I do care about this project. I'm doing my job as an architect, but I've also told the developers directly I would do this job on certain terms and respecting the neighborhood. And they have been super cooperative with me to meet that. And it's hard to find such people who would work with you, and I should commend them on that, to work with the neighborhood. The other thing that was talked about was no sidewalk, no crosswalk. You're losing a house and you're getting rid of a house on the street. I don't think we're losing a house on the street. We're getting a more beautiful home. If you see the immediate neighbors right on front of the property, the first reaction was, oh, I'm so glad I have to see a gorgeous home when I wake up in the morning. I'm completely in support. And this is what I hear from the people in and around just that part. And so I think we're adding a lot of value as well. I understand where they're coming from. The other things that was brought about was this is the historical part of the city, and it doesn't match what the street is. I respect that it is a very valuable part of the city and has a lot of character, but when you can see the homes on the street, most homes fit the character, but this one home doesn't fit that street. It's a single family. Instead, I think our development will actually enhance the street and make it more stronger and respect the character and the historical part of the street much more. I spoke about density. About the last part about is the address. I'm just going to take her name, Donna. About, we've had a lot of conversations, lengthy conversations, and I must say Mr. Carter, who is her husband, the first thing, he's the one who did not let me go to the Alvina family. He said, I love what you've done. My wife will have a say in this. All I want you to do is respect the neighbor's home. And the part about commercial coming in there in R2, I don't think that is allowed in R2. So I just want to, I don't know if that would be allowed in there. So I don't know whether that's a conversation at this point for Harvard at all. The other concern that Donna raised about was family life and value. And I think we have done an extensive research. I'm convinced pretty much that that's not going to affect the value. And I did send an email to clarify that and asked if that was sufficient. I've not heard back, so I was surprised that that came up again at this point. And the price point, as I said, collectively, this property would probably be the most expensive. If you add the $500,000, it's going to be a $2 million lot. It'll actually benefit everybody on that street. And to keep the existing home, there is a lot of work, like as Mrs. Alvina said, changing the electrical, changing the plumbing, and she is very passionate about her home. She loves having companionship. She loves having people. And we tried to meet everything. And other question that was raised about insurance and liability insurance, we've actually attached the letter to say we are committed to that, and the letter has been given to them as well. So I really hope that we will get some support on this, because this could end up being a single-family home that people just don't like. And all we hear is people do love the development and the look of the space and things like that. And I have heard it myself, and I really wish that the authorities having a say would support our application.
Okay, any questions?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So my first one is, when you first ventured off, and thank you for, you really have done a yeoman's task in trying to get the neighborhood, because you knew when we met that I was quite clear that a big part of my approval for this, if it was going to be coming, would be based upon the neighborhood reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Same as happened on McMillan.
Mm-hmm.
So when my concern right now, and I'll be very honest with you, is that I don't know how, I'm not sure how accurate your greens are, where you say people are supporting it. We've had two here today that were maybe okay, but it seems you've taken some interpretation of what they say and made them green. But again, I'm not sure, you don't have to answer, this is kind of a rhetorical question, because they've already told me these people who are green in here aren't green. And so it raises the question about how many other greens here are actually green. Because I have two people here already that you listed green that aren't green.
Okay, I'm going to tell you why. If you read what the address says on 93 Harvard, owner, no objection. The design has to meet the request of Art and Alvina, fulfill their needs. Love the design and approach. Like the fact that it's facing Harvard will improve the character compared to what it is today.
I can read.
Worried
I can
about
read.
The property
I'm
value.
I got
and you can see a green and a yellow. So the yellow means people who haven't made a decision. And so that's what it is. The other address that... Sorry?
No, okay.
And then the other address that came here was Gary Hermer, I think his name is. And I'm just trying to find him on the list here.
So are you saying that if someone has green, red, and yellow, then they have some agreement, but they also have some disagreement?
But Gary Hermer told me it was
green.
Support when I went to meet him. So I'm actually surprised he's in opposition.
Well, and someone to come all the way out here to...
And I sent him an email, and I can send you the copies with follow-up saying, do you have any other concerns?
I'm making my decision tonight. So my concern is...
Hello.
Hello. Oh, it's a bad decision.
What's happening? Stefan, we have a power.
Welcome back. Yay. So that... By tonight, by right now, I'm telling you right now, I'm very concerned about that. You can tell me that they should have told you that they were opposed to it, but they didn't, then you assume they were. My question now, as I'm living with this, is how many other people also are in that same... I was shocked when I saw your report that you gave me this, because I know the neighborhood very well, that you would have so much support. Not to say, and I'm pleased. And I went, okay, that's good. That's very good, because I'm not sure within that. I knew this was a touchy subject area. So that just does concern me. But the greens aren't as green as I was hoping they'd be.
I think it's only to do with one address.
You know what?
Council.
Right now I have to go back and ask every one of these people, because I already had enough people who told, two people here have already told me they're not green.
But the two, it's yellow. That's what I'm explaining to you. And she
green.
Clearly said she was on the fence, and I've clearly outlined that she was on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not two
yellow.
People.
Well, then it's a green and yellow, but now that yellow turned red. Okay? That yellow now turned red.
Yes, today, but that's what she told me today. How am I supposed to know?
I just know what I know. It used to be yellow, now it's red, a green went red. How many others would change? I don't know. Okay, let's be honest. That's what I'm, and I understand. That's just a fact. The other one I want to talk to you about is, why aren't you building an R1 house? Why do you have to build a fourplex?
It's the cost that the developer had bought the home for, and to get a return on it without density was not possible, and I was given the choice. I didn't make the choice.
Okay, so it's an economic issue.
Okay,
fair enough. I looked at the house presently with the garage and how the garage is laid out. And is there a reason why you laid the garage out parallel to the back lane and not how it presently is that goes kind of, you know, more parallel to Stafford?
Yes, that was a conversation with the planner, and they wanted it so that you don't have a lot of people backing out at the same time. It's one person at a time to reduce the traffic flow. And
okay, so they're not all coming out.
They're not all coming out at the same time. So, and that was what we considered with respect to
traffic. Fair enough. Single encroachment down the street. Oh, that's the planner. Planner. Is there, I wasn't able to tell from your diagram, is there a deck on the roof of the garage?
No.
No, okay. That's the picture makes it look like that because that's the decks of the house.
Yes.
Right, but there's a separation between those two. I was going to ask how much of the land is going to be developed percentage-wise, but it appears that the present house is pretty well 100%.
Correct.
They have trucks there, and it's pretty pretty nasty. Okay, that's it for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And it was a good effort. Very good. I have some questions for administration, if I may.
Yeah.
Michael, can you... This neighborhood, Crescentwood, where we're talking about, there'll be some back and forth. It's my understanding that the Crescentwood neighborhood on the west side of Stafford, more where we're talking about, it's a different type of a neighborhood than, let's say, Jesse is. Is that correct? Is there?
They're both areas of stability, but they definitely have different characteristics. Well, Jesse is 2 blocks from the Rapid Transit and 1 block from Corridon, and they're 25-foot wide lots in that neighborhood. Here, this lot is a third of an acre, so
right.
It's 4 times larger than a lot on Jesse.
Is there anything though in our guidelines that would say, you know, we can, I don't want to pick on Jesse because it's today, but that this neighborhood is built for single family neighborhood. This is a single family neighborhood versus a neighborhood in transition or a neighborhood, a multifamily neighborhood. Is there anything in our books that state that?
Well, what we have is complete communities. And that's the overall development plan for the city, and it talks about residential neighborhoods. It's sort of a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, and within areas of stability, it basically says that the goal is to more or less maintain the existing character of those neighborhoods. We don't really want to change areas of stability too much. We want to make sure that the character remains the same, that they remain stable, that sort of thing. At the same time, we do value bringing new people into the area, and we have population that's growing, and we need to accommodate that population. So the plan talks about there are areas within areas of stability where we can accommodate some additional density, and that's primarily in corridors and centers. So primarily on corners, on busy arterial streets or collector streets, that sort of thing. And we have tried to maintain that pattern. So that's more or less the strategy that we have for areas of stability, is to try to accommodate some additional density on the corners. I can't provide any assurances that we won't get applications for more rezonings in this neighborhood or any other neighborhood, but the planning department has been, you know, fairly firm that in this type of area, corners are the place to intensify. And it can't be high density, but it has to be very modest and in character with the neighborhood. And we looked at each one on a case-by-case basis. So in this case, we feel that it's an exemplary design. We feel that this is a huge lot. Again, it's a third of an acre. So four units within a third of an acre, we feel that that's a reasonable density. They've accommodated the parking. They've done really good consultation. It doesn't necessarily set a precedent because we, again, look at each one on a case-by-case basis, and it really has to be fantastic, in our opinion, to support something like this in this neighborhood. So that's sort of the perspective that we're taking.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really say anything else.
Okay, so I guess, and I know you're aware, so this is rhetorical, so it's mostly for everybody else here. You do realize that this specific neighborhood has just won
four awards from this old house. It's won the best mature neighborhood in Canada, one of them. Most family friendly, easiest commute, and one of the best places to retire. Now this is from this old house, and the reason why it got that is because the houses are pretty well remaining as is. They looked around different neighborhoods all over. They said, this neighborhood is incredible how you still have a single family, homogeneous kind of neighborhood going on in that old Crescentwood. Yeah. So you are aware of that. Okay. And you do recall the issue we had on Harrow with the R2 zoning that didn't proceed because of the outrage from the neighborhood down on Harrow and the carriage house. We had a big battle. The neighborhood was not too keen on this one. The neighborhood spoke very loudly. They were worried about traffic in the back lane and whatnot. Mm. The same rationale that we're getting today were the same rationales I had then. It's Harrow is an arterial route. It's a corridor. I go, that's not, Stafford is more so, but again, it was the argument used at the time. Harrow also is one. I go, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. And that's where I guess the definitions, we have to decide who gets it defined. What that is, what is a corridor, and what isn't a corridor. Stafford definitely is a busier street. But again, the fears that we're getting out of here are, where will this stop? Will we now just start doing Harrow now? Will this be also considered? You know, right by a school and everything else. I know that we are doing the mature infill guidelines, and that's great. I really appreciate the work we did with the Academy PDO. We're going to get a test on that real soon. But we don't have any real protection for the neighborhood that this won't encroach. Is that correct?
The protection is that there's a public hearing process for any rezoning application, and there's the complete community's policies that talk about intensifying on corridors. Those are the safeguards that we have. Other than that, it's really
up to the councillor.
Or
up
really, to the, it would,
oh, the committee.
It's up to the committee, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Can I just check my last questions? Oh, the other one is regarding the 6-foot setback, I think they said, from Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
Is that appropriate? I know we had that Dorchester condo had to go back even farther because Public Works wanted to have a bigger easement on that side for potential moving the sidewalk over in the future.
Okay. We asked Public Works about that because there was a special yard on Stafford.
Yeah.
And it's been on the books for decades. And we asked Public Works if they could comment on the application to vary that. And what they indicated to us, and I think I have the email, is that at one point in time, the city was looking at a road widening on Stafford years ago. They're no longer contemplating a road widening on Stafford, so that special yard is no longer necessary.
Interesting change.
Yeah.
I'm sure the other developer would have liked to know that at the time, because it pushed his house closer to the other house, which has now been converted into a contractor's establishment with a attached garage with an extent. It's a huge wall. It's two walls now. We have two walls coming down because the other home, they have invested a fair bit of money into it, but it's massive. It's another massive home that's beside the other massive condo. And it's coming down the block. Say what we want. The guy has a business on his roof in his garage. He's 4 feet off the back lane, I think maybe, the back. He's pretty close. And when I talked to him, he said, well, what else can I do? I'm just right here, this massive mass right beside me. I said, I understand. I can understand why you're doing this. But you really now are making the same problem you had to your new neighbor over there, because now it's two massive walls. So I'm seeing the encroachment. I'm seeing the pressure that's coming down the street.
I'm familiar with that one. And that was permitted by right.
I know.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part. That I just got in because hopefully those mature guidelines will help us on that, where we contextualize it more. So I'm good. I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Let me get to my little sheet here. Okay, rezoning. That the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.
Receipt of public notification be included.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.